In the first parak in Shir HaShirim, and it's Pasuk Tesvov. So the Pasuk says, Hinoch Yofor Ayosi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Klal Yisrael. You're beautiful, my beloved. Hinoch Yofor Einayich Yoyni. You're beautiful, and you're compared, your eyes are like the eyes of doves. The comparison of your eyes to the eyes of this beautiful bird. So Rashi, I think, says, what does it mean, Einayich Yoinim? So something very interesting, Einayich Yoinim. What's the key? So I don't know what that key is in Rashi. You have a key or you have it? You don't have it. In Rashi on Tesvov. Ki einayich yoinim?
I have it.
Yeah, I have it also.
No, but why is it key? Hinoch yofor ayosi, hinoch yofor einayich yoinim.
Well, because it's leading maybe from the previous, the two Rashis are
connected. Because you're beautiful because your eyes are, I guess Rashi's fataiching it, but it looks like it, and the printer put it as if it was the word of the posuk. But Rashi's just, you know what I mean? It doesn't say
we
key.
We have it
in small.
Yeah.
Ah, so here that's, you have it corrected. Okay. What do you have here? Where is it? Noch yofor. Einayich. Oh, you have it in small, yeah. So that's it. Okay, good. I have it in big, as if it was part of the pasuk. Okay, it's irrelevant. Okay, let's go. Klemer kalo sheineo ki urim kol gufa tzricha b'dika. A kalo whose eyes are ugly, you have to check the rest of the body too. Sheineo noim ein gufa tzorich b'dika. Yeah. If a kalo whose eyes are beautiful, you don't have to look at the rest of the body. If the eyes are beautiful, that's meyid on the entire beauty. There's a certain beauty that you see in the eyes that assures you of everything else.
Are you talking about physical beauty there?
Well, I guess when you talk about a kala, you're talking about probably physical beauty too.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so he says, what is this einayich yoinim? So he says that what's the moshel the nimshel? The kala whose eyes are beautiful doesn't need bedika. So I guess that HaKadosh Baruch says machalti lo chalav einich, v'rat yofa b'maise v'hinoch yofa benishma. He says, I forgave you for the cheto egel, and I guess now we can see just the beauty of your actions. Nasev and Ishmael came before the Chet HaEgel. Unless this is not talking about the Chet HaEgel. Aha, that could be. So you're Yofa. So the dogma, I guess, is when you see beauty, then that the beauty of the Masim Tovim are comparable to the Einayich Yoinim. And when you see that beauty, it's made on the entire being.
I know it's made.
It doesn't matter. But if you're thinking about the Moshel, it does matter. Beautiful eyes. I mean, talk to people that are having trouble dating, and they'll tell you, beautiful eyes. No, beautiful eyes is very nice. But, if she wears something from from here and covers everything else, she's beautiful, you know. But if I have to see the rest of her, we have to apply the logic of the world to the dogma and, to the moshel, yeah, to the moshel, not to the nimshel. Anyway, so I would assume that means, but that's that, and there really is something like that. The truth of the matter is that you can see, in what I believe that's the pshat, when Eliezer saw that Rivka does chesed, he says, "Oiso achach to abduchol Yitzchok," and he says, because this is a siman she's ruili konis b'beisa shel Avraham Avinu, and the Mizrahi says, "Dimloi kein lomar bocha b'zeh hasiman." So I said, "What's the pshat?" The pshat is the chesed was a siman. Not just you only need chesed to get to Avraham Avinu's house. Chesed was Avraham Avinu's most outstanding, unique quality. But there are other milas you need there too. You know, if she's a balas chesed, but she gets angry fast. If she's a balas chesed, but she's a bal gaiva. There are other milas too. So I assume the pshat is he says imloy kein lomar bocha b'zeh hasiman. That chesed is a siman on everything else. I house chesed a siman on everything else. I assume that the depth of a maisa is connected to the neshoma of a person in such a way that if a person is capable of such a high level of maisim, then that is indicative that everything else is also in order. You couldn't achieve such a level of shleimus. He must have seen the shleimus and the chesed. You know, somebody once described it to the 3-year-old girl feeding 100 big camels that were 25 feet taller than she is. You know, like so. But he must have seen such a depth of chesed that it's connected. It comes from such a source of mahu afato of dveikus b'Hashem of olachta b'drochov that everything else must also be. So I assume that's the same thing here too. That when you look at the eyes and you see that beauty, that's indicative that everything else is in order too. And I think that's a very powerful thing, because sometimes we don't have too much to judge a person by. And sometimes you can judge by one action and you see it has such depth and has such sincerity. It's so real that it must be indicative of other things as well. Well, I guess I get what? Yeah, but once machalti lo chavonich, and now we just look at the beauty, and the beauty is indicative. I mean, if that oven is right, if the oven is there, what? I don't know. Why do you see that? Why do you say that? I assume that amoichel al avonich, and now once amoichel al avonich, once there's nothing, no avera that's marring it, I look at your beauty and I see this beauty is reflective of everything. I don't know. Anyway, that's not even what I wanted to get into. Okay, let's ki einayich yoinim tzadikim yesh biyodcho shedovko bi kayoina zu shekishemakeres es ben zugo einu manicha sheizdavig la'achem. There are some tzadikim amongst you that once they recognize shemakeres es ben zugo, she meets, she has been introduced to her mate, she'll never leave him. She'll never leave him. That's a connection for life. So too, Klal Yisrael, Ve'yosu Olav Kol B'nei Levi, that when, even though there was a Chet to Egel, but B'nei Levi, you have tzaddikim amongst you that refuse to leave me, that refuse to abandon me, and that's a Naich Yoinim. They're compared to the Yoino that once she's Makeres Ben Zuga, she meets her mate, she's always there. Okay, so I want to focus on a little bit something else, on this concept of a Naich Yoinim. There's an interesting thing here, and we have it written up. We never finished more than the first parak, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll do it someday soon. Yeah. So I just want to share with you the following: Rav Aryeh Levine, he was very close with Rav Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, in his later years, retired to Yerushalayim. He was a rav in Moscow, I think, in Russia, and he retired to Yerushalayim. He would read Shir HaShirim, and when he read Shir HaShirim, when he came to this posuk of Einayich Hinoch Yofer Rayosi Hinoch Yofer Einayich Yoinim, he would cry every time. When he read this posuk, he would cry. Okay, that's what he saw. Rav Aryeh was very much mishamish these gedolim of the previous generation, and he would notice that he cries when he says this. And he asked him why. What? What's that? No, Mshamish means he served them, but it means he was clear. Shimush Tamei Chomer really means a close connection. You're right. Not just serving him, not just like serving tea, but connected with him, and I'm discussing with him everything. Right, the Rambam Marsha, I think, says you learn halochas in that process that were not written clearly in Shulchan Aruch. You learn many different things, so it's a relationship. So when Rav Aryeh asked him, He told him the following story. Then he was when he was a Rav in Moscow in Russia, he says, in the middle of the night, in the dark of the night, a Jew comes knocking on his door. And he says his wife gave birth to a boy. And he said, even though he himself is not Shemir Torah Mitzvahs at all, I remember something that he was in the army, in the Russian army, something, but he was not Shaykh, I think he was even an officer in the Russian army, but that's not what he wrote over here. But he says that he's not religious at all, but he wants the Rav, the Reb Chaim Berlin, to come to do a bris milah for his son. Remember, he came in the middle of the night, and he wants the Rav to come to do a bris for his son. So Reb Chaim says, yes, okay, he was a moil. He says, okay, he's going to do it. But then the man began to tell him. He says, listen, you're going to have to come in the middle of the night, but sinner, that nobody knows about it. He says, nobody could, my neighbors, no one is allowed to know, because if they do, who knows what they're going to do to me. You know, like they were, it was, I guess, a tkufi. You weren't allowed to do a bris milah, and it's a sakonas. They used to kill people for things like that. He says, you have to come sneak with me in the middle of the night, and nobody should know why you're going or what you're doing. And this is what you have to do it, yeah? Because otherwise, my neighbors or my people, they're going to... Mamish, my life is in danger. If they discover that I'm bringing a moil to maul my kid. after the bris, he says, he asked him, he says, you're so far from Torah mitzvahs. You're completely irreligious, completely nothing. He says, why were you meisa nefesh to have this mitzvah done, to do this mitzvah? It's your mitzvah ben alahav. What motivated you to such a level of mesiras nefesh when you yourself are completely, you were completely perik oil? So he says to him like this. He says, I'm lost to Judaism, to Yiddishkeit. No hope for me. He says, Mestoma, my son, will go the same way. Chances are he's going to be just like his father growing up in Russia at that time with atheist, communist regimes. I guess it wasn't by the communists. Must have maybe it was even by the Bolsheviks, whatever it was. He says, I'm off. I'm away. My son is going to probably grow the same way. But he says, why was I meisa nefesh for this mitzvah? He says, if the day will come when my son wants to be chayzer b'tshuva, he says, he should have the ability. He should have a bris. He should be Jewish. He should have the opportunity to come back. I don't think he will. It's never going to happen. But I'm prepared. I was prepared, and I did. I put my life in sakona to give my son that option, that if, in fact, he chooses to come back, he should be able to. And Reb Chaim Berlin then explained that when he reads the posuk of Hinoch Yofa Ayosi, Hinoch Yofa Einayich Yoinim, that the Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, compares the Klal Yisrael to the Yoina, so he quotes the Gemara. He says, Boy HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metar Yofio Shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Behold, Einayim Heim Ke'enei Yoinim. Their eyes are like the eyes of a dove. Tomid nizkar b'sipur zeh. Dimevura b'gemara. He says, I always remember this story when I recite that posuk. That's why he cries when he says that posuk. Einayich Yoinim. Because he says, the Gemara says, the yoino yarchik mikone rakol oy deim yistakel achoranis yuchal adayin lirois oiso. Aval yois mize lo yarchik. The yoino will only go far away enough from the nest that if he turns around back, he'll be able to see it. But he'll never go further. That's what the Gemara says. I think it's the Gemara in Bava Basra. It says, Chof Dalet Amin Aleph. The yoino will only, check it out, The yoino is some kind of an instinctive instinct that it goes far, it travels, but only that it knows if it looks back, it can still see. If it's going to look back, it's not going to see. Adkan, it doesn't go. He says, that's the shevach that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. The after marchikim atzma me'akodesh Baruch Hu. Even though they distance themselves from Hashem, they will never cut that bond, cut that umbilical cord, cut that connection. They will go far, far, far away, but they want to have that connection. It's very interesting that v'tomid shemrim es ha-pesach shem yirtzu lachzor eilov yuchlo. They always leave that door a little bit open, that if they ever want to come back, they'll always be able to. That's the nature of a Jew. That's what Shlomo HaMelech was misnabe in Shir HaShirim, that Klal Yisrael will be always like that, that as far as they will drift, they will never cut the connection completely and always leave themselves some ability to come back. And we take a see that so many people are taking advantage of that connection and working their way back. But I wanted to mention some just one other thing. Anyway, but that's what the pasuk means. He says that there's always that connection, and we see it taka true. We see that people, no matter how far they drift, there's always something there you could reach. You could always find, you know, that I guess that rope, even if it seems to be cut, but you can always grab onto it and pull them back, because deep down, everybody has that love of Hashem. It's tokua belibom. And they're even, but the Chiddush over here is what he's saying is, he's ready to be Meisa Nefesh for that. A person who's completely fry, there's one thing that means something to him, that if my children ever want to come back, I want to make sure they have that opportunity. And that's like why I think that many people have agreed, even though they were completely not religious, have agreed to send their children to day schools in the early days of the day school movement. Started with parents who were not, you know, that generation had already ran away from Yiddishkeit. But they wanted, my kid should have the opportunity. It should be his choice. They may have said it in the name of liberalism, but in reality, what they meant is that I want to make sure that my kid has that opportunity, that if he really wants, he should be. And that comes from that love that exists, you know, inside every Jew, and he never wants to distance himself too much. All right, that's my story.